This is the third novel discussion on archetypes. So the first question is, what archetype represents certain events in the novel and why?
Okay, well, I did nature versus technology. I don't know if that's right. I looked up certain archetypes, examples, and I found that one, and I thought it kind of worked in this case because, like, Clarice represents nature. Meanwhile, technology is represented by all of the TV screens and just the whole system that they have and the government control with, like, how they're always so focused on TV and they don't care about nature. And then Clarice was so focused on living freely and curiosity and wondering and questions and innocence. And everyone's moving so fast that they never really stop. It's cliche to smell the roses, but like that's, yes, yeah, so I have a major versus technology. Yeah.
That could also represent like freedom versus like restrictions and stuff, like the nature and technology kind of thing.
So in my book, there is the, I thought of the archetype that comes up a lot, it's the I Ching. And I was thinking about it, because we've had discussions where I've talked about it, but I was thinking about it. And I realized, in the novel, there are no religions, there are no faiths. But, like, it's very little. And then the I Ching is kind of like something they all have faith in. Most of them have faith in. And it's kind of, representing a faith for them. It could also represent, I researched about it, it could represent an exchange, because the I Ching comes from the Chinese, but the Japanese have borrowed it and brought it over here, and it's kind of like representing that to them. So you know, like, that makes sense.
Okay, we can move on to the next question. Okay, so the next question is, how has the protagonist archetype changed in your novel?
I said that he might have been like a bully. I thought that was one of them because he's a fireman and everyone fears them, even if he didn't mean to be, because I don't think he's a mean person. So bully kind of, it was just kind of like the name of it represented him. And I think that when he met Clarice, she changed him into either like the martyr or the hero. That's what I said. So like he wants to get the books back. He wants to fix the world. He wants to change the system that they're stuck in. And, I don't know, I just think he wants to be a better person. It doesn't want to be a fireman or a bully anymore. So I think that's how he's changed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that you could also like categorize him as like the outcast too, because he's like, it says that the outcast is exiled for a crime and becomes a wanderer. So like he hasn't necessarily been like convicted of a crime, but like as readers we know what he's done. So like we know that like by taking the books he's committed a crime in their society, and he's like going away from like what's normal of like not wanting to read or be knowledgeable about what's in books. So he also changed in that way.
So he's become more aware of thinking about what he should do or what he should not do, instead of just being like someone who just follows the rest. He's being more aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No,
I thought something, the same lines. Like at the beginning, he kind of had like this authority kind of like power because he burned the books, like he was a fireman, and like now he realizes he has a choice, and like it kind of represents more of like freedom, like room to breathe and be able to make their own choices, kind of.
In my book, I don't have a specific protagonist. I have like four different points of views. And each one of them, like I was thinking about it last night, and I realized one of my characters that I talked about before, Robert Sheldon, who owns the Authentic American Artifact Store, he kind of represents envy and prejudice in the world, in that world, because he is constantly wanting more. So he could be a dreamer, but he also is like, his thoughts are very prejudiced towards the Japanese, even though he lives within them. So he's kind of like envying that they have all the power and he doesn't have any. Mm-hmm. He's just known as an American.
Yeah, I kind of said for our book that Clarice might be kind of a dreamer, because she kind of, I mean, what's the definition? It's like
wants to be something else.
Yeah, and I don't know, I feel like she just doesn't want to live in the society that she's, like, forced into and stuff. I don't know, I said she's a dreamer too, but.
Yeah. I also said that she could be, like, the temptress.
Okay, yeah.
A beautiful woman who's, like, seduces the hero. So, like, not necessarily seduces in a way, but, like, with what she's saying, he sees
she
her.
She like seduces his mind almost,
yeah,
if that makes
almost.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because he like sees her as this like young, lively person.
Yeah.
Who's someone completely different than he's ever met before. And she like changes his mind. So I think it's like a temptress. And she's also like tempting him with the fact of the questions that she asked him at the beginning, like about him being happy, and like that tempted him to want to find out more about his own happiness, right?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like when we think about like temptress, we always think it's necessarily in a bad way, but I don't mm-hmm. think in your book it was
no,
bad.
No, I don't think so either.
So why do you think archetypes have such an important role in shaping the characters in the novel, and where can we see that clearly?
I said that it paints the story more clear and it helps the reader to understand the premises and why certain characters act a certain way or make certain decisions. It kind of just, I don't know, it makes the book more real. It makes people, and it also, you can like relate it to many other books because there's these same kind of characters in every kind of story that you'll find. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's important to, we can understand the book better.
I think it makes it a lot more relatable.
Yeah.
Not only to like other books or like other sources of like media, like movies or TV shows, but also like just like our everyday lives kind of thing as well. Like we can be able to look at a character and see that they're like the dreamer, and we can be like, oh, like I have someone in my life who you can classify as like that kind of like stereotype or like archetype.
So in my book, the person who sells authentic American artifacts, authentic in quotation marks, because he found out they're not authentic and they're just fakes, he gets offered up another character in the book. His name is Frank. He starts making jewelry, and his jewelry is authentic. It's American authentic work. So he goes to the store and he ends up like tricking Frank into, actually not Frank, he ends up tricking the partner of Frank into giving him the jewelry, and then he's like, oh, when I make money out of it, I'm gonna give you money for it. But now, like, give them to me for free, I'll advertise them, and then I'll give you the jewelry. But what ends up happening is in the beginning, he doesn't realize what the jewelry really represents, but the jewelry represents authenticity. And it represents something new. And when he ends up trying to sell it, he has a sense of pride. He starts having a sense of pride about it. And he starts being more confident about the things that he's selling, because he did have the falling point where he was like, are anything that I'm selling real? Does that make sense? It shaped him as a character he is right now.
I think that like in Fahrenheit, we see that we can easily see like the different archetypes in the characters, but also in like the inanimate objects. So like the books would represent knowledge, and the walls would represent like the restriction or jail, because like the walls are kind of cutting each character off. So then that's kind of like isolation.
Yeah.
And then I also think that Faber.
Yeah.
He's kind of like another guy. He's kind of like one of the guys that helped to change Guy in the past.
Yeah, I said that he was like a mentor, is how I said would be like an archetype for him. Yeah.
Something that I thought like a event was the with the flower the daisy, was it, under his chin? Because it was, like, I think it represented, like, nature and being connected to earth and, like, grounding yourself. And then after, like, he went through that, it changed, like, his views, kind of, like, on his wife. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I said for that one. Then, are there any elements in your novel that have archetypes drastically different than what they represent today? So, like, in Fahrenheit, like, firemen kind of strike fear, but now they're, like, here to protect us. So,
yeah.
Changes?
Entertainment. Like, they have the walls of the TVs. Yeah. So, like, today we see entertainment as something that we can enjoy with those around us. Mm-hmm. But instead, in the novel, entertainment, for the way they're using it, is to cut people off from each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I said something similar. Because it's like they're completely invested in the TVs and they can't even have a regular conversation. Like when she, Mildred, had her friends over, mm-hmm. and they, like, it was like, oh, she was like, yeah, I'm finally, like, gonna visit with, like, the girls. And then they came over and they didn't even talk, they just watched the TV and, like, played the game that was on the TV.
Yeah.
And the second that guy unplugged it, like, they were just, like, completely unable to form any kind of conversation. So it's definitely different than today.
Yeah. I think just, like, family dynamic in general, like, just, like, the relationships that they have with people, like, for us, normally, when you think about relationships, it's, like, good communication and, like, an understanding of one another. And normally there's some sort of, like, emotion behind it too, but in the book there's, like, it's basically the complete opposite. The relationships are very, like, separated.
Robotic.
Yeah, very robotic, exactly. Yeah.
So, as I mentioned before, are there any elements, right?
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I thought I lost my phone, and then I found it. So, as I mentioned before, like, jewelry mm-hmm. represent authenticity in the book, but, like, it takes the characters to realize that, but we realize it as we're reading it, that it really does represent authenticity. But then in real life, I think jewelry more is, like, an expression of yourself. Like, for example, Rose right now, I'm going to use her as an example, she's wearing, like, hair clips, and everything matches, and a necklace that all matches, so it's kind of like an expression of her. And then, it can also represent the high class you are. For example, you wear like gold or something mm-hmm. like that. So, but then in the book, it's just like pieces of metal that they've shined and they think of it as like, oh, this is new. This is something we haven't seen.
Hmm. That's cool. Also, something that I found was like at the very beginning of the book when Mildred gets her stomach pump.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, like this, the liquid comes out. The machine was kind of just like there to get the job done and stuff. But then here, I think it represents a lot more than just like something that happens quick. Like it's a long process, and
and there's a lot more like in our everyday lives. If you're like mm-hmm. someone who like ODs, there's obviously people that want to like help you, and there's like there's recovery centers mm-hmm. that you can like go to. Whereas here, it's kind of like, it's so known in the book that it's so common that there isn't like much that people do about it other than just let it happen.
Yeah.
They just accept that it's something that's going to happen and they just leave it at that kind of thing.
I've never read the book, but I think like it's kind of like making it into a common thing so people don't, don't overthink it. Like, oh my god, they OD'd. Like, they don't think, why did they do it? What happened? Because they did it. It's more like, oh, it happened last week to me. It's fine.
They
didn't do it.
Yeah.
So going off that, how is our society drawing different connotations to things than in our book? Like how in the book, my book, Fahrenheit, the schools are used to make children disassociated with family and human connection, but in our society, school is very collaborative and teamwork based.
I said that the fact that books are completely rejected and feared and they burn them. I think that's really different. I mean, like personally, I love books. Like, I love to read them. And I know a lot of people that love books too, and it's like, it's not like that. I know that Ray Bradbury was predicting that, and obviously he was doing it in an extreme way. But I think that, because we all know he hated technology, and so it was his whole point was to show that, oh, no one will ever read books anymore, and books will be like so shamed and stuff, but I think he was wrong.
He was very wrong. In my book, I don't know if this necessarily ties to this question, and I completely lost my train of thoughts right now. Goodness, I'm not having a good day. Okay, so there's this book. It's called The Grasshopper Lives Heavy. Okay. It's a book that an author has wrote, and it's about what would have happened if Japan and the Nazis had lost the war. In the book, they're reading that book, and it kind of separates everyone's thought process. So it's like, I thought of the book as like an act of change, as something that could have been. And in our society nowadays, we think of that act of change or it's something that could have been. We think of like books that bring that as like, oh, we can change our world, we can do this. But in the book, it's more like there are some characters that say, oh my God, this is wrong, this can't happen. There's this one character that actually ends up kind of for like 5 minutes ends up going into the universe where the Japan and Nazis had lost, and he hates it. He's like, no, this isn't right, like, it's wrong. Even though it's like more safe, the world, he's just like, no, like, I don't want to be here. And he runs back and he goes back into his own universe. It's kind of a really weird part of it, but like, it's just, yeah, an act of change. It's not very appreciated in the book as much as it is in real life.
It's like a freedom of opinion is kind of very, like very appreciated in this day and age, and in both of our books, I think it's very frowned upon to be able to think for yourself and like use like the core competencies kind of thing.
Yeah. But like to be fair, like in the olden days, that was what was going on.
Yeah, that's true. Like they didn't care about core competencies.
Yeah.
They didn't care about reflecting about our own thoughts and our own work.
It's like pretty new also.
Yeah, it is.
So, which elements in your book represent bad and
bad? How do you think that he fixes? You think what he fixes?
I also think that, like, for Clarice, she does, like, have free thought as well. Like, different from what all the others kind of are.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in our society, we would be supporting people in doing what they would want to do. So like for post-secondary, we have all the support to do what we want to follow. But like in Fahrenheit, it seems like all of the jobs are predetermined. Like all the firemen, they all seem to look the same.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. You kind of just fall into whatever placement that you think that the society thinks that you fit into, and not, you don't get to choose your own path kind of thing. Okay, I know this has nothing to do with the questions, but something I thought that was really interesting when I was reading it I don't know if you got to it, but when Faber gives him that earpiece that he's been talking to, like, that is so cool that he could predict that we have stuff like that. Because, like, when you think about, like what like AirPods can do, or, like, what Bluetooth can do, or, like, you can
really
hear people talking, and, like, you can talk, like, that's
the seashells.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What's a bit different, it's, like, it's something that Faber made himself, to, like, so that when Montag goes home, he takes the thing, and Faber can talk to him, and so he starts reading the book of, starts reading a book of the Bible to him. Because he like left the Bible at Faber's house, and then
he can hear him talking.
He can hear him reading the book to him, and then when Montag gets home and is having this conversation with Mildred and his two friends, he like comes out with this like book of poems or whatever, and he like is threatening to read this book or something, and Faber on the other end is like freaking out, like don't do it, don't tell them, like because he's just shown them a book, right, and he's not supposed to have one. And Montag starts talking to him through the earpiece, and Mildred's like, who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so cool that, like, since the book was written so long ago, that, like, he could have predicted that we actually have something like that now.
So weird.
Wow.
That's kind of cool because he created it too, and like it's not something that the government, like in the book, like created it, because it's like something that connects people, and then the government's like, no, like none of this stuff.
Exactly. And then another thing that I thought was really weird was the way that they send kids to school. For like, they said that one of the moms was like, like I'm fine with my kids because I see them like they're at school like 10 days out of the week, and then they're only home like 3 days every like 30 days.
Yeah.
Like every month they're only home 3 days, and all they do is like put the TV screens on or whatever. Right. And I think that's so weird to think about. Like they have no connections with their parents whatsoever.
When you think about it in real life, that's what happens kind of too with some parents, but it's not necessarily the parents' fault.
No, exactly.
In real life, it's not necessarily the parents' fault. I don't know about the book, but. You're so busy, you have work, you're doing this, you're doing that.
Yeah.
You barely see your kid is in daycare, your kid is here, your kid is there. It's just like...
But like, in our society, we would see that as like some form of neglect, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, there it's just accepted, it's the norm to have your kids going away. Like, not like a boarding school, but like...
Well, kind of was like a boarding school.
I guess it is. But like, still having like no connection, or even like emotional connection, or really care about your child. Like, that's so weird.
So last one, which element in your book represents bad and which represents good, and then do they clash with one another?
I said that Clarice and books, I've grouped them together, they represent good, and then technology and firemen represent bad, and then I said that the firemen, like, they burn everything they don't believe in, and Clarice is shamed in society because she's curious and innocent, and honestly she just disappeared and I don't know where she went, and I think that the government came to take her away. They think that she died, but I don't think she's dead, I think she's still alive. And so they kind of clash with each other, where it's just complete like government control, and that you can't do anything about it, almost to the point where he's not rebelling. Guy's rebelling, sorry.
That's kind of what I said too, like Clarice in the system, Clarice, I think that's the big one in our book.
And just that, like, another thing, I don't know if this is maybe a weird question, but the fact that, like, Montag was able to find someone else who kind of also has similar feelings after Clarice had disappeared, he, like, went out of his way to try and find Faber and like to try and reconnect with him after their like meeting in the park or whatever, because he was kind of, I think, the first person to ever maybe spark some sort of interest in life that wasn't being fed to him through the government. And I think that it was kind of cool to see that he made the effort to try and find someone else to try and like discover and get to the bottom of, like, our book's actually something that the government's keeping from us that is actually a good thing.
Yes. There is, as I talked about, the character that falls into our, like, the world where Japan and Nazis haven't won, his character, when he goes back, there's this one part where it's him versus Nazi Germany. So they've captured one of the characters because he's a Jew, and because he works in a government office, he gets to sign off on him being transported to the Nazi side so they can kill him. He ends up not signing it. He ends up being very rude to the person who is who's coming to like get Frank, who is supposed to go and die. I said that so casually, but like, yeah. So he ends up not signing it, and it kind of shows like the good and the bad. Like, he saw what could have happened in the world. It didn't really like register for him that what he saw was what he saw, but he realized that he could make a difference no matter how little it is, no matter how small it is. And then he ends up like not signing off. He ends up getting a heart attack afterwards, but it's intense. Anyway, so like, he saves a life by choosing not to sign that paper, which would be so casual for him just to do.
Do you think that it was like the right decision for him?
I think it was the right decision for him. Like, even though he might get fired, I don't know. I don't think he would get fired. Because, again, like, I don't think Japan and, okay, so Japan and the Germany side, I don't think they're very, like, friendly with each other to begin with. So it's just like, they don't really care. I don't think he's going to get fired. I think it was a good decision because he ended up saving someone from He ended up saving someone he doesn't even know, right?
That's true.
That makes me think of, like, this is so random, it makes me think of, like, organ donating. Like, donating your organs.
Yeah,
like,
actually.
You're, like, saving a life of, like, the person you don't know. Or whatever. Or, like, blood donation.
I get it.
Anyways, that's random, but.
That's cool.
Are you okay?
Okay, cool.